New York sports fans. That's right, I'm Danielle McCartan. I'll be taking your calls tonight and talking all things New York sports right up till 5 a.m. right here in New York City and beyond. So thanks for tuning in. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And look, I fully understand that we are squarely into baseball season. And New York is a baseball town. I get it. I love baseball. You already know that. And we can still do baseball tonight. And we can still talk about how the Mets have not won a game since the last time I was with you. Before the last time I was with you. It's been 9 consecutive games. We could talk about how Brandon Nimmo again hit a leadoff bomb today for the Texas Rangers, not the New York Mets. He's hitting .325 with a .172 WRC+. What does that mean? Well, compared against like average, the baseline is a 100. He's hitting he's playing at a 172 WRC+. I mean, Brandon Nimmo's tearing it up, and the Mets are just not. So we could talk all about that if you like. We could talk about how Ryan McMahon was the hero of Friday night's game in the Bronx, hitting his first extra base hit of the season, and it was a 2-run home run to seal the deal for the Yankees. I mean, we could talk about all of that. Hopefully that's a springboard, because he's been abysmal, but hopefully that's a springboard for him for moving forward into this season. We could do all that. And we can talk about Knicks playoff basketball as I sit here right now in a blue number 33 Knicks t-shirt, Mitchell and Ness brand. You know who that is. So we could do all of that, and I'm happy to, and we will. But this show, this particular time right now, this is the last time I'm going to be with you before the NFL draft. And just the Giants and the Jets have such significant, potentially franchise-altering draft capital this year if they do it the right way. And that's kind of really where I wanted to start today's show. Oh, and yeah, a guest is joining us tonight. Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, big Jet fan, big entrepreneur. Yeah, he'll be joining us a little later, too. So this is a jam-packed, fast-paced 3 hours, okay? So get aboard, listen close, and let's get to it. And I'll tell you something right now. The more I see the name, or even just the position, quarterback, and the word Jets in this upcoming draft, I mean, the more it makes me want to toss my cookies. It makes me want to puke. I won no part of a quarterback during this year's draft process for the New York Jets. Not at all. Not in any round. Not in any other way you're going to ask me about it. The answer is no. No way. And look, I didn't want Geno Smith either. I never met him personally. And hopefully he learned after getting his jaw wired shut the last time he was here. But let me tell you why I don't like Geno Smith. Because he is a complete system quarterback. He has found success nowhere else other than in Seattle. So there's no way he's going to find success here. And I also, that's a loaded question, and that's a loaded word. How do you define the word success in this situation? Is success for the Jets next season winning 7 games to keep the head coach and miss out then on a top quarterback prospect next season? I mean, forget the head coach. Give me the shot at a franchise-altering quarterback. That's success to me. The dichotomy. Mark it now. Saturday, April 18th. We'll talk about this throughout the season, I am sure. The dichotomy is going to be in full effect for the Jets this season. A head coach trying to win as many games as he can with a fan base that doesn't want to win any. And even still, with all of that, I don't want a quarterback at all in this upcoming draft. At all. And like, it's going to be a waste of a pick for a team that can't even afford to miss on the picks it has. Because let me remind you, this Jets team is not one quarterback away from winning anything. And this Jets coaching staff is unable to or incapable of developing one. Well, I mean, maybe not now with Frank Reich, the new Jets offensive coordinator, soon to be interim head coach. But I thought to myself, has Frank Reich ever developed a quarterback throughout his career? I mean, he was one at the NFL level, which is obviously an irreplaceable and immeasurably important experience, not just going through the draft process and sitting on the bench and never throwing a pass, but being one at the NFL level. That's immeasurably important. But has he ever developed a quarterback at the NFL level? Well, I looked. He was the Indianapolis Colts quarterback coach, and then he went to wide receiver coach after one season. But in all, Reich was working with future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, who was in his 12th season. That's far from developing a rookie quarterback. And as the Chargers quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, Frank Reich had Philip Rivers already in his 8th and 9th seasons, respectively. That's far from developing a rookie quarterback. And as a Super Bowl-winning Eagles offensive coordinator, okay, yeah, second year Wentz played 13 games. Then Foles in his 6th season the rest of the way. But, I mean, just because Frank Reich hasn't developed a rookie quarterback throughout his career doesn't mean he can't, right? But for this Jets team, in this particular situation, with all due respect, I don't want to find out. That is an experiment I do not want to conduct at the moment. And if it's not Frank Reich doing the development, who is it? I mean, Aaron Glenn can't teach. That's obvious. He can't teach the game. He can't teach his players at his own position. You know how I know? Let me ask you, do you remember how many interceptions this Jets defense had last season? Yeah, zero, exactly. You mean to tell me that he couldn't jump in and get involved at the drills at practice and teach them how to anticipate and jump a route? Come on. That's how I know Aaron Glenn can't teach. It's his position. I'm doing it with my football team right now. I never played in the NFL. I'm teaching them how to jump routes. And maybe it'll be next year when the Jets have a new quarterback-minded head coach. That's when they should be picking a quarterback in the draft. Oh, and the third reason why I want no part of a quarterback in this draft, you know, not to mention outside of Mendoza, who's clearly going to be a Raider, I really don't love any of them. None of them were impressive. Not to me, and not to any of the scouts evaluating them. And I've heard this momentum building about Ty Simpson. Come close. Listen carefully. I'll tell you right now, I want no part of Ty Simpson. Okay? His next-gen scores and his measurements, they're just average. And I'll tell you right now, being average on the scale of the next-gen stats, it's hard to do. It is. There aren't many that are colored in yellow from next-gen. Not many. And what the scouts are saying, I'll tell you what they're saying. He holds on to the football entirely too long, which, this is a direct quote, leads to unnecessary sacks. Another direct quote, safeties took advantage of lazy eye discipline. And this isn't me saying this. These are the scouts saying this. And if you don't have the correct structure, developmental structure in place around that draft pick, he's never going to succeed. He's never going to train his eyes. He's never going to get the ball out on time and on target. So I want no part of him or any other quarterback in this draft. Live and die by Geno Smith, I guess. And by the way, not to mention Parcells' rules for picking a quarterback in a draft. Like, Ty Simpson is out on number one, which should be a 3-year starter who has started in at least 30 games. Well, talk about inexperience. Ty Simpson, 1-year starter of exactly 15 games. Thrown right into the fire. to a quarterback needy team? I mean, give me a break. So stop the nonsense. Ground yourself back into reality that this Jets team stinks. And using a draft pick to take on a project at quarterback is not going to help them. Not in the now and not in the future. So don't waste a pick on the quarterback. You got to fill needs elsewhere this season. Because as you know, there are plenty of them. So here's my plan for the New York Jets this draft with names. Feel free to call me up and comment. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. 888-808-1019. But those listening right now and on the internet that have been with me over the past couple years here on The Fan, like 8 years, 7, 8 years on The Fan, know that I do a ton of research about everything. But for some reason, I gravitate extra to, you know, exceptionally towards the NFL draft. I have a single-spaced 14-page draft guide, right? In my computer right now, my draft guide for 2026 is finished. And I'm going to be referring to that throughout the night tonight. But here are the positions I want the Jets to address. And not necessarily in this order. Except for the first one. That's non-negotiable. And that first one is edge rusher. I mean, have you seen what's atop that depth chart? Like, the Jets were 31st in the league in sacks last season. They didn't pick off a single pass, and they were 31st in sacks last season. And as you know, there are only 32 teams. But they are in a prime position to get a premium compliment to Will McDonald, who the Jets are expected to exercise his fifth-year option on. They are expected to do that. And the Jets need to use a premium number two pick on a premium position, which is edge rusher. So who will it be? David Bailey or Arvell Reese? I'll tell you right now, I like David Bailey. Not that Reese is bad by any means. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I would take Bailey over him. And the differentiating factor for me, well, it just seems that David Bailey, to me, seems more like the high motor, instinctual player, and he's smart. And I don't want you to let Texas Tech fool you, because David Bailey spent his first 3 years at Stanford, and his brother is a defensive end at Harvard. So there's something to that. And the words that the scouts used to describe Bailey jumped off the screen to me. They were hard to ignore. Rare short area twitch, reactive agility, explosive takeoff, natural rush instincts. There's just so many more. Whereas Reese's report was great too, and the same scout did both of them, but was just much more expressive about Bailey. Like, for example, about Arvell Reese. Direct quote, upper body strength will need more attention. And I read that and I say, well, I feel like that should already be in place for a guy expected to be drafted this highly. Has he not been working out enough? Is he content with where he's going to go in the draft? And then another one, Reese is affected by post-snap eye candy and misdirection and inconsistent route awareness in his zone drops. Do you want that on your team? It sounds to me when I read that he didn't study up enough in the football classroom over there at Ohio State. So I just like David Bailey much better for his grit, for his instincts, and for the fact that he makes a ton of plays behind the line of scrimmage. So Mendoza 1, and Bailey should be 2 for the Jets. And I'm not bothered by the fact that the individual visit between Bailey and the Jets was canceled. I'm not bothered at all. That gives me confidence, in fact, that they really know what they're getting in him. They've already decided on him, even. And, you know, they're limited in the number of visits they have, so they're just using that visit that was, you know, earmarked for him to go ahead and explore other options for later in the draft. So there's no need to waste a visit on a guy that they feel 100% about already. So David Bailey at 2 for the Jets. And then I would really like to see them go after a cornerback with their second first-round pick. In fact, I might even, depending on how it goes, I might want to maybe trade up. Because, look, maybe. Because Sauce Gardner's gone. The Jets are in a position to replace him without paying a top-dollar free agent on the market. Again, addressing a premium position with a premium draft pick. I mean, Aaron Glenn was a cornerback. He should know who is best suited for this spot on his team from the draft. But then again, his defense didn't pick off a single pass last season. So maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But I looked at the composite scores for all of the players in the draft given by the scouts. The third best player in this draft, according to those composite scores, is the cornerback out of LSU. It's Mansoor? Delaney. The scouting report backs it, and the drop-off in talent after him at that position is significant. So my thought process here is this. If you need a cornerback, this isn't the draft to wait around for one. Whereas, in the wide receiver department of this year's draft, there is much more depth. Like, there are 6 wide receivers that I would take in this draft versus just one cornerback. Carnell Tate, obviously. I love Mekhi Lemon, USC. I really like KC Concepcion, who I think that's how you say it, at Texas A&M. And Denzel Boston out of Washington. And I would even keep an eye on Chris, is it Brazel, the second? Because let's be honest. Look, the Jets need a wide receiver complement to Garrett Wilson. And I don't need to see Garrett Wilson getting double-teamed and triple-teamed anymore. Enough. You can put an end to it in this draft. So Wilson's your 1, you go get your 2, and Adonai Mitchell is your 3. That's formidable. So for the Jets and Darren Mooji to execute a grand slam draft, I want his first 3 picks to be David Bailey, Mansoor Delaney, and then I want one of the receivers I just mentioned. And that to me, well, if he can get that done, maybe, you know, maybe just maybe I'd buy back into this team, knowing they're in good hands and on the right track. That would be a grand slam of epic proportions for Darren Mooji. Let's see if he can get it done.